Welcome to Vision Chat's spooky series, where we talk about ghost stories and legends.
So I have a story for you, and this happened yesterday. And usually for me, the mornings are pretty busy because I have my daughter to get ready for school, and I have cats to feed, all kinds of stuff. Anyway. So as I was packing my daughter's lunch, I was kind of like going back and forth from the kitchen to the dining room and getting things ready. And in the dining room, I keep like, I call it like my snack table. So like there's all kinds of snacks there for my daughter to just grab easy access. So I was going to grab actually some of those snacks to put in her lunch bag. And my dining room is pretty dark. I mean, there's a window, but there's a little bit of light that comes in, but it's mostly dark. And so I just walked in there and I put my hand on the chair because I was going to like, I don't know why I put my hand on the chair, but I was putting my hand on the chair and I was reaching for the snack. And all of a sudden, I felt something warm touch my finger.
Oh my God.
I yelled because, well, one, I was startled. Two, I thought it was like a spider web or something because it was soft, but it was warm. Or I thought like a bug crawled on me. I don't know what I was thinking. And I yelled and went, And my daughter, who was in the living room, heard me. She's like, what? What happened? I said, I don't know. So I went to flip the light switch on and go back, fully expecting to see like a spider web or something. I was like, I don't know, maybe some huge spider built a web here. And I put my hand into it or something. So I hate bugs. I'm okay that it was a ghost, that's fine. But if it was a bug, that would have been worse. So I looked, nothing there. No spider webs, no bugs anywhere. So she's like, what happened? I said, something touched me. And she was like, oh. And I said, yeah, I thought it was a bug. And she came over. We both were looking. We couldn't find anything. But I distinctly felt like it was like on the top of like my finger, like my thumb. And it was like a warm, like just like a brushing, like something just brushed my hand, which I had on the chair. So that's what happened. I don't know what it was. Yeah. It was a weird sensation because I was like, ah!
Yeah, well, that's not good.
No, and I know I wasn't imagining it. I mean, I was busy.
Yeah.
You know, I was back and forth trying to get things ready. I was not expecting to, you know, like put my hand on the chair and feel anything. There's nothing around it. There's just no explanation of like, oh, maybe the curtain blew. The wind blew or something, you know, and it brushed against my hand or maybe the table cover or something, but there was just nothing on top of the chair other than maybe a spider web. But I looked. I said, if there's a giant spider web here, we're going to have a problem. But there was nothing.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
that's creepy.
It is.
Okay, since we're talking about hands or fingers, I have a story, but it's from my hometown. And it's like more of a myth or a legend, I can say. So in the Middle Age, around, I don't remember when it was, but around the Middle Age, and if there's somebody from my hometown listening, if I don't tell the story 100% right, I'm sorry about that. I'm just going to say it straight away. But yeah. So, in the Middle Age, there was this woman that I think got into an accident or something happened to her finger, like her little finger, but it got healed. But in a way, because of, I think she was so grateful that God had healed her little finger, she sacrificed it and cut it off and gave it to the church for them to have this finger. But here's the thing, I don't know if that finger healed after she gave the sacrifice or before. I'm not sure. But this finger has been within the church for decades. From the Middle Age. And in the 1950s, this finger disappeared. No, not 1950s. It's way back before. 1500s, this finger disappeared. Somebody stole the finger. Probably because it was like holy or magical about it, I don't know. And I think it was a woman that stole the finger. What happened to her, she got sick and then gave the finger away to another person, a guy, and then she died. And this guy got sick, gave this finger to a new person again, and then he died. And the third person that got the finger was realizing, oh, we probably should hand this finger back to the church or to the property where the finger was. And later on, there was, I think, a younger man that found this finger because it was made into silver, or they were like making it into a silver finger. He found it within a wall brick, not a house, but under rocks and stuff like that, hidden away in a sense. And I think they took the finger with them as well. Since they did that, they became sick. And then he died. And then the finger got returned again. And then right now it's in a museum in a glass chamber in my hometown. And I think in the 1980s, somebody broke the chamber, the glass stuff, and took the finger with them. So the people from the museum, they went out to different newspapers in my hometown and told them what this finger had done to other people. That other people had died after they stole the finger. And it got to the world newspaper in Norway, our Norwegian biggest newspaper. 1 year and a few days more, they found the finger, shiny. Somebody had polished it outside of a museum. So it got handed back, but they don't know what happened to the person that stole it. They didn't really know who stole it because it was, people were around. It was a museum opening day, I don't know. It got returned. And this finger is called the devil's finger because it will do you harm if you take it or touch it or something like that. So yeah, that is the story.
So where is the finger now?
It's in the museum, within glass chambers, so you can see it. It's a floating finger, I guess, because of the glass. So it's a pinky that is chopped off.
So if I go to your hometown, I can go to this museum and see it?
Yeah. It's like in the area where there's still ruins from the church, the old church. My sister is getting married in those ruins. They have like a glass chamber around the whole ruins, and it's been there since, I don't know, forever.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, moral of the story, people, just don't steal any fingers. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
It is. It's weird.
Wow. Well, I have a couple stories not related to any fingers, but these are things that happened actually to my parents, not to me. They used to own a restaurant in Chicago, northwest side of the city, just back in like, I want to say like the 90s. My dad had bought a building there. It's like a huge like commercial property. It's a building. It had like a storefront on the bottom and then two floors and apartments. It was an apartment building also. This area, actually, Stina, you've been in this area when we went to visit someone when you were here in their big, beautiful house. That whole area is, I don't know, maybe you agree with me or not, but the feeling in just this like area, the neighborhood is very dark. It's kind of heavy. There is a history of lots of bars in the area. It's a lot of drinking, a lot of just like bars. The neighborhood not, you know, unfortunately, I think people that live there were not in the best conditions. So anyway, my dad bought this restaurant. I mean, the property. He opened a restaurant in the storefront because it was his dream. And a lot of things happened there, but two of the stories that stand out. So one night, it was getting close to the end of the day and they were going to close up. And my mom was standing behind the counter. And the way it was set up is like there was a bar, a little mini bar, and then tables. And on the other side of the bar was like a countertop or like where the cash register was. And then there was a front door and then a back exit. And by the back exit, there was like a short hallway and bathrooms. So one night, as they were getting ready to close the restaurant, my mom was kind of waiting for the waitresses to kind of finish up clearing out the last of the patrons. And she saw a man come in to the restaurant and head straight over to the bathrooms. And he went in. And she was like, all right, I gotta wait for this guy to finish and get out so I can lock the doors. The thing is that the front door was the only door that was open because that was gonna be like where people were gonna leave, but the back door was already locked. And for added security, what my parents would do was prop up a really big, long, like 2x4, a wooden, I don't know what you would call it, beam or something, against the doorknob and propped against the floor. So anybody, if they try to break in, it would be impossible to open the door. So locked and the wooden beam propping against the door. And so the last of the patrons left, they're wiping down the tables. And my mom's like, this guy hasn't come out of the bathroom. There was another man there. There was one person left that was like, I need to use the bathroom. And my mom's like, well, the guy's still in there. And like, the guy's like, I have to go. Like, I can't wait anymore. So he went into the bathroom, was knocking. And he said, he comes out. He's like, no one's in here. She said, what do you mean? The guy just walked in. Like, he's been in the bathroom this whole time. And he said, no, there's no one in here. And no one saw him leave. The way she described this man, like she said, I didn't really see him too clearly, but I remember like his height. I remember the clothes he had on. Like, so the story goes that maybe possibly what she could have seen was the ghost of a man that died on the property. So what we found out was that in the 1980s, it was also a bar. And there was an undercover police officer there that was killed. And he died on the property, like in the bar. And it had been shut down because of that and never reopened until my parents came in and opened it up. And there were other random things that would happen in the restaurant, noises, things like that. Myself personally, I was okay being on the top floor, but the basement was really creepy. So what my parents did was they had the restaurant on the top floor, a little mini bar, and then you would go downstairs to the basement, and that was used as a pool hall. So he set up pool tables and people could go down there and play pool. The basement was super creepy. I hated being there. Every time my parents are like, because they kept it also as storage, so they'd be like, hey, can you bring this up? And I'd be like, oh, do I have to? I don't want to go in the basement. Please don't make me go in the basement. I'll do anything else. So anytime that I had to go down there, I would just turn on all the lights, as many as I could, grab what I needed, and run back up the stairs, because I always felt like there was someone behind me. Every single time, I felt like just like this someone right behind me. So I never experienced anything myself, but there was another time when one of the patrons was down in the pool area, the pool table area. And again, end of the night, they were getting ready to close. Everybody was out. He was the only one down there. And I don't know why he was hanging out down there. Maybe he was using the bathroom or something. I don't know. But he was the last one. And suddenly, like he said, he's coming up the stairs and lights were shut off. And then he heard, bam, bam, bam. He bolted. I mean, this man, grown man, tough guy too. You know, he was like, very masculine, grown man, ran up the stairs, you know, like, pale, eyes wide. He's like, someone's down there. But I know it's no one. It's the ghost. And it was so loud that he says, I think it was like a pool. It sounded like someone took a pool stick and slammed it against the table, like almost like, get out or like, come here or pay attention or something. But he said he heard it three times. Like, bam, bam, bam. He never went back down there by himself. After that, he would only go down there if someone was already there and he was never the last one out. He refused.
Yeah. So,
and we don't know what it was.
Oh my God. Oh, that must be horrible. And also like in the basement. Ooh. Yeah. No, thank you.
Wow. Do you want to tell a story or do you want me to tell the last one?
I can tell one quickly. I have this story from my hometown or my birth where I was born. This story is probably not 100% accurate or correct to what the main story is. But yeah, next to my hometown, we have this big lake with fresh water that is running beside it. And there is an area where there was churches that is very close to this lake. Back in the days, Norway was under Sweden. And some of the Swedish army or something like that, they burned down all of the churches. And so nobody could really use them, like the popes or the priests, I guess. Not a pope. I don't think we had a pope in Norway. But the priest couldn't really go to the church. They couldn't ring the bell that like they used to before. And suddenly one day when the lake was very still and nobody really was around the area because it was burned to the ground. Like, there wasn't really necessary to be around there, or they didn't want to be around there. The people around the area, they heard the church bell that was going off 3 times. So I guess some of the people got curious, like, but nobody's there. Why are this church bell ringing? And they went over to find the sea monster that had gone out of the lake, wrapped itself around the church bell to ring it, and then went back into the sea again. And this sea monster had eyes as the size of a man's fist and more like a horse head. Later on, I guess a few years or maybe decades after, there was these two fishermen that was going out in the same lake to try to find some fish. And then suddenly they see like movements in the water, and they notice this sea monster. And I guess they survived to tell the story. But the thing was, they managed to kill it because they told somebody else. They went out to kill the sea monster. It ended up going into another island next to my hometown. And they said, like, the sea monster, it was bleeding, like, green mucus, or when they sliced it, it came out green, like, yucky stuff. But later on, there were other people noticing that it was also other sea monster in the same lake, but you can only see them when the lake is like, there's no movements in the lake. It's like calm and quiet, and when it's misty, you can see them. Yeah, so I guess that was it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah. But to be honest, I have heard a little bit of it, but I never thought about it. But I guess it's very famous story, I guess. But yeah. They tell them they have like a ghost tour. Oh. On the same, like, when where they burn down this church and where the ruins are and the devil finger.
See, now I'm gonna have to make a trip to Norway just to your hometown.
Yeah.
So I want to see this stuff. So cool.
Yeah. Thanks. Let me know. I'll be your tour guide.
Personal tour guide.
Yeah. But I will hire somebody to tell the stories because I'm not 100%.
You did a pretty good job.
Thank you.
You know who's really good at telling stories like that?
Who?
Your uncle.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. He's like a professional tour guide.
Yeah, but he is a good storyteller, too, or like to talk and stuff like that.
Yeah, you could tell. He like has a way of talking and explaining like stories and history. That, like, mm-hmm. I think when he was giving Aaron and I a tour of the Viking village in Oslo, he was doing a better job than the professional tour guides that were there. Other people started coming by us, like, kind of trying to hear what he was saying.
Oh, wow.
He's really good. He's a really great storyteller.
Yeah.
I can tell another really quick story. It has to do with the same guy, this poor guy that was in the basement.
Yeah.
I feel really bad for him as I laugh. So the same guy that was in the basement also happened to be a like handyman, like he fixed things. So my dad had hired him to make some repairs to one of the apartments that someone had just moved out of, and my dad wanted to rent it, but there were some repairs that needed to be made. So he asked the guy to come and work for him. So the guy comes in, he's working, and then one day, like, he just comes back, he tells my dad, I can't finish the repairs. My dad says, why not? What's wrong? Like, I paid you already. He's like, yeah, no, I get it, but the thing is that, he said, while I was working, he was hearing a music box. And the apartment's empty, obviously, there's no one in there. He was working by himself, this poor guy. And he started hearing a music box playing. And so he kind of stopped, he said he's looking around, he's looking outside, thinking maybe some kids walking around with a music box and go back to work. And then he'd hear it again. He's like, after like the third time when he's trying to find like the source of this music that was playing, he's like, I'm done. I'm out of here. He was trying to look next door. There weren't any kids in the building. And it was during the time of day when people mostly were out for work. So no one was really even in the building. So he just said, yeah, I'm going to need, like, if you want me to finish this, you're going to have to be there, or somebody else is going to have to be there. I can't go back there. So.
Oh my God, that's creepy.
Poor guy.
Poor guy, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Maybe it was like a medium or a psychic or something like that.
I think so, because he was having these experiences that were only happening to him, or he was, you know, sensitive enough that he could hear and see things. But like, I don't think he would ever admit to it. And he was so scared. Every time he'd see something or hear something, he was just like, I'm done. I'm out of here.
Yeah. And that is understandable. If you don't know what it is, of course, like, no, thank you. Bye bye.
That's what he said. He's like, I'm out.
Yeah. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I have one more story.
Yeah, go for it.
Do you want to tell something or do you?
No.
Okay.
I think I'm good.
So I have one more story, and I keep forgetting this story. And I don't know how I'm forgetting this story, because it's probably one of the scariest things that has happened to me. And this happened in my parents' house. So the house I grew up in, or I spent most of my childhood in. And this house has like four floors, four different apartments. And this particular incident happened at the very top, the tippy top of the house. So it's like an attic space, but it was big enough to convert it into like a living area. So it had a little apartment. It had a bathroom, bedroom, one bedroom, very, very tiny kitchen, and like a little living space. And so what would happen is that when my daughter was born, she was really tiny, and I felt so bad having to take her back and forth. I had to go to work, so my mom would watch her while I was at work. And sometimes it was just easier to sleep over because my job was like 10 minutes away. So I remember sometimes I would go over and spend the night. So this particular night, I don't know, nothing special had happened. They were on the floor beneath us. I had gone upstairs because there was just more room. And I had laid my daughter down to sleep. And she was a baby. I mean, she must have been like 6 months old or something. And I laid her down. And my mom was like, oh, you should put a nightlight in. And I was like, okay, fine. I didn't really care. There was enough light coming in from a window that I didn't need it. And the thing is that the windows that we had, since it was at the very top, so the top is shaped like a triangle, there were skylights. So there were like only openings at the top. This is important because of what happened next. So my mom plugs in the nightlight. So now I have a pretty decent amount of light in the room. She goes to bed, pulls all the doors up, and I'm about to lay down. So I was kind of like sitting up. I wasn't really ready to go to sleep yet. So I was sitting up. I don't remember what I was doing, but all of a sudden I look up and I'm facing the wall, the other wall. And I saw a shadow. And it was really weird because it started small and it got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger as it went across the wall, like very slowly. And all it was like, at first I couldn't tell what it was because it was so small. And it went from right to left. I don't know my left and my right. It went from right to left. And it was really small. And like I said, it grew bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And as I saw it take shape, I could see that it was a hooded figure. It was a hooded black shadow. So it was like if a person had put on like a hoodie and it was pointed. And it had a cloak. Like I could tell because it was just like long. And I couldn't see any like facial, like there was no outline. It was just like the hood. And it just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And it just went so slowly that I kind of was like, I couldn't look away. And I was looking at it like, what is this thing? And what's causing the shadow? Again, mind you, even if it was something coming from outside, like I said, there were no windows along the walls. Plus, I'm on the fourth floor. Nobody walking down the street could cast a shadow like that. Nobody. Not that high up. They would have had to be like on the roof. There were no pets because my parents didn't have pets at that time. It was just me and my baby girl in the bed.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and it just went across and disappeared into the other wall.
Oh wow. Yeah, and that's weird.
Yeah. And I was like, okay.
That must be creepy too when it's like very slow instead of being like quick and being like, ooh. Okay.
Well, usually, like, you catch something out of the corner of your eye or something that flashes or something that goes by, like you said, so quickly you barely catch a glimpse of it. This thing was, like, intentionally, like, I'm just going to, like, glide across.
Ooh.
Very slowly.
Oh, creepy.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, well.
I'm going to bed.
Yeah. So this reminds me of the story that I forgot I was going to tell. So before I was working at a place where it is like different apartments with different patients. They live there. And here you have like staff all day, 24/7. There were people at night shifts over there. And at night, usually there is lights that is automatic, so they will turn off if it's nobody in there for a while. Unless there are movement, they will turn on. And this building, it has like 5 floors. And then one of the girls that was at the night shift, she usually go by the patients and be like looking at them, everything is good and stuff like that. And then she went from the first floor up to the fourth because somebody needed some assistance or I don't know. And then when she was done with this patient, she went back downstairs to the first floor again. And because nobody had been there, and she didn't walk there. It was dark. And then she walked into the hallway, because it's like a long hallway with different like doors. It's like an apartment kind of building. And it takes a little bit before the lights to turn on. She noticed there was something on the ground in the dark, crawling towards her. And she got so frightened. I think she screamed. There was like, she didn't know what to do with herself. Like, because it's like the way you saw in like a horror movie. Like something that is crawling and something that is making noise. I don't know how to make this noise. I don't know. I got a notification too. Maybe I made a weird sound. But yeah, this weird noise and something crawling. And then the lights turn on. And there is a patient. She cannot talk, but she can make sounds like, oh, like something like that. She jumped out of her bed and then crawled herself out of the apartment and into the hallway because she wanted help. So it was her like crawling in the hallway. And this is not the first time, but when it's like in daylight, that's not that scary as in nighttime and you're alone in like the whole building.
Oh my God. Wow. Poor girl. And poor lady.
Yeah.
Poor lady.
Yeah, poor both of them.
Poor both of them, seriously. Trying to get help and, you know.
Yeah.
Speak to say it's just me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's horrifying.
My goodness.
Yeah. But she was okay, just to say that.
How about the girl, the one that was helping?
Yeah, she was so scared at first. But then she just got startled, I guess, and then had to continue with the job. But if that was me, I would be like, hell no, I'm out of here. Thank you. No, thank you. Never coming back.
Yeah. Can't handle those unexpected things. You just don't expect to see.
And also, some of the people that worked there, they had this app on their phone. Because all of the room, they have different numbers. And then it will come up this number by the room or like towards the door. And two times already, there has come a number. And that is the person next to die. So that number, they passed away like shortly after. Maybe like 1 or 2 weeks after. And then that happens a few times, I think.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Very creepy.
It is.
Scary and creepy.
Yeah. So yeah, that's for this episode. Stay tuned to next episode, I guess.
If you dare.
Yeah, if you dare. And if you have your own episode, please email us with your spooky episode.
Yeah. People have ghost stories, they can send them in and we'll tell them.
If you like the spooky series, please give us a follow and check out our website, visionofprofoundhealing.com.